Well, moms, today is your day. It's a day to say thank you for loving us, caring for us, and guiding us. It's a day to recognize all you do and all you are to us, your perfect, wonderful, amazing children. Thanks for all the early mornings and for taking care of the things we take for granted. Thanks for never giving up on us, even when we stress you out. Thanks for making sure we have what we need and for giving us your heart even when you're sick and tired. Thanks for working hard even when we're a handful and for loving us unconditionally when our attitude is anything but lovable. You're our everything, Mom, and we'd be a mess without you. Today, we thank God for the wonderful gift of you. Happy Mother's Day.
I do pray that this is a memorable Mother's Day for you and not just because of the COVID-19 pandemic that is going around. All the moms, you are very special, near and dear to our heart, and so I hope it is a special day. And to everyone else, welcome back. Right? 56 days since we last met together in this building. Can you believe it? And I don't know about you, but it felt like an eternity to me. Obviously, we have several safety precautions in place, but man, does it really feel good to be back in service with you all this morning. We have a special guest worship leader with us, Thomas. I don't know if you guys remember Thomas from back in November. He was up here. He'll be leading us in worship here shortly, but I don't know about Thomas, but it was extremely difficult preaching for about 30 minutes or so to that camera right back there with the room being empty. So it is good to have everyone here. And speaking of which, we don't want to forget those that are watching online who are still at home streaming on one of our platforms, right? Yeah. It's good to have you all with us as well. If you don't mind, if you're watching online, if you could write in a comment. One of the things we found out with streaming is that we don't always know who is watching when. I'd always hear comments of, well, someone would say hi to so-and-so, and I didn't even know that they were watching. So if maybe you can post a comment that says you're watching. We would greatly appreciate it. And I'm looking around here, and I told Thomas earlier, I'm not surprised. I don't think there are any first-time visitors with us this morning, but maybe you're checking us out online for the first time, and we just want to say thank you for worshiping with us, you know, worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's an honor. It's an honor to have all our guests online or even in here worshiping with us. There's a lot of choices. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of great choices, I should say, of churches that you can check out, whether that's online or even here in the Owosso area. So it is, it's a privilege to have you here with us this morning. You know, our heart here at New Heights is to be the hands and feet of Christ and to continue to build community, even in the midst of all this chaos and this crisis. And so if you want to, I was going to say that I have a graphic for it for the first time guests. We'd like to get some more information from you. There should be a link if you're watching online. Of where you can click on that link. We'd like to get, again, some information from you. If you're here, you can text WELCOME to 918-215-8844, 918-215-8844. Take a moment, click on that link, send a text. Again, fill out just the basic information, your name and a phone number, maybe email address, just so that we can continue to keep in contact with you after this morning. So there you go. That's all the public service announcements for today. Last week, we began this new 5-part series in 2 Timothy titled 2 Timothy. And what we found is that the Apostle Paul is really at the end of his life. He's in a prison dungeon in Rome called Mamertine, and apparently his trial has already happened, and supposedly his sentencing has already been handed down, because he tells Timothy these words in chapter 4, verse 6, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." You see, Paul, he was in prison because he was a teacher, a preacher, an apostle of the gospel. And this message, as we heard last week, has now been entrusted to his young protege, Timothy. And the words and the pattern of these words that Timothy heard Paul tell Timothy, Paul charged him to preserve and guard them. It's not only a great responsibility for Timothy and this calling that he has had on his life. Listen, it's dangerous. That's a word you don't hear a lot anymore, especially in 21st century Christianity, right? Christianity was dangerous. I mean, it could have cost Timothy his own life. But Paul reminds him in chapter 1, listen, you are not alone, Timothy. Paul reminded him that God's own eternal purposes not only saved Timothy, but he also called Timothy for that task. Chapter 1, verse 9. God had also given Timothy a spirit of power, love, and self-control. And those attributes would enable Timothy to fulfill his calling. That's chapter 1, verse 7. Timothy was supposed to suffer. How was he supposed to suffer for the gospel? By the power of God. That's chapter 1, verse 8. And then he was supposed to guard that good deposit by the Holy Spirit who dwelt within them. That's chapter 1, verse 14. It's similar to what Moses would eventually tell the Israelites back in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Listen to what Moses says. "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." What is Moses saying? Moses is saying it is God who will go before you. It is God who will destroy the nations before you. It is God who will give them over to you. It is God who will be with you. Therefore, be strong and courageous. Do you hear the theme? It's all about God. And Paul reminds Timothy of this fact. It's the same truth, it's the same principle, and it applies to us today. I'm here to tell you, it's not up to Timothy, it's not up to you, it's not up to me, it is up to God. It's God who goes before us. And so therefore, with that in mind, Paul then writes to Timothy in chapter 2, verse 1. Be strengthened by what? Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You are not strengthened by your knowledge of facts. You are not strengthened by the amount of friends you may have or how popular you may be. You are not strengthened by the amount of zeros that may be in your checking account. You are not strengthened, in fact, on how long you may have been a Christian or in how much you know the Bible or how long maybe you've even been in ministry. You are strengthened, church, this very moment by what? By the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There's absolutely no way that you can accomplish what he has called you to do without his grace. So if you come here this morning, if you're watching online, and you find yourself desperate for strength, you find yourself tired, you find yourself weary, you find yourself wanting to give up, I'm here to tell you that you are in a good place because there is a fountain of grace found in Christ. Paul tells Timothy, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust. If you highlight or underline in your Bible, do that word, highlight it. Entrust to faithful men and or women who will be able to teach others also. When I was preparing for this morning, I just thought to myself, amazing. Simply amazing. Are you tracking with me? Because this is God's great plan. You understand? This is God's plan of how His message, His gospel, the good news is going to spread. This is God's great plan of how His kingdom is going to grow and expand among the earth. How we are to share the gospel and then train others to do the same. That's it. Sure, music helps. Sure, lighting helps. Sure, the atmosphere helps. But I'm here to tell you that the number one plan of God's growth in the world is through His followers sharing His message and training others to do the same. That's it. It seems that we, at times, have gotten the cart before the horse. Well, we'll let JD take care of it. We'll let so-and-so take, we'll let the leaders take care of it. Well, no, God has entrusted you. You see, Christ entrusted Paul with the message. Paul then entrusted Timothy with the message. And now Paul is telling Timothy, you are to find other men and women that you can entrust with this same message. And then they are to go on and do the same. They're to teach others also. The reason why I had you underline, highlight that word entrust is because it's the same, exact same Greek word that Christ used when He hung on the cross when He said, into your hands I commit or I entrust my spirit. We are to entrust the gospel message to someone else. And here's the beauty of it all. Are you ready? Here's the beauty of it all. Based on what I can tell in this verse, there's only one competency that any of us need to have when it comes whether we are entrusted with the gospel. And that one competency is this. It's called faithfulness. You are defined, Timothy. You are defined, faithful men and women that you can entrust the gospel to. And I thought to myself, why is faithfulness so important? You know, it's not about your looks. It's not about your talent. It's not about how much you know. Paul says, no, you're to find people who are faithful. And I pondered. I was like, Lord, what is going on? Why is that so important? We're about to find out. Because ministry, sharing the gospel, is suffering. Aren't you glad you guys came this morning, right? Happy Mother's Day. It is suffering. Listen to what Paul, he continues in verse number 3. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Wow. As a follower of Christ, suffering is not optional. Christ told His very first disciples, He said back in John chapter 15, you remember, He said, look, the world hated me, and if the world hated me, guess what? It is going to hate you as well. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And that's why faithfulness is so important, because you will experience difficulty in this life. You will face hardships in this life. You will face situations and circumstances that you'll begin to wonder, does God even care about me? Is God even out there? Is God even listening? Does God even know what I'm going through? Paul tells Timothy, you can find people who are faithful that you can entrust this message to. Because ministry, church, It's suffering, but here's the thing. the context of suffering here in chapter 2, it's not based on some kind of external consequence of the world hating you. All right? It's not some kind of suffering that is caused because of the hatred of the world. What kind of suffering is it? Paul's about to explain. We'll get into it. It's the internal suffering. It's the strife that is necessary that, for you to be a good soldier of Christ, an athlete, or a farmer. I'll explain. Let's go. Verse number 4. That's where we're at. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuit, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. You see, each of us as followers of Christ, we are to deny ourselves. We are to take up our cross, and we are to follow Him. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know if you've ever carried a cross before. I don't know if you've ever tried to deny yourself before, but there's some suffering in that. There's part of you that has to die. And Paul is telling Timothy with these three images, he's saying that each of us, we're to put our own pleasure and comfort aside, and we're to undertake our task faithfully. Now, Paul was very familiar with the soldier, right? With the Roman soldier. I mean, he had been in prison more than once. And he notes, he tells Timothy that a good soldier is willing to suffer. He's willing to not be known for what he does and what is known for what he does for those above him. He says a good soldier avoids civilian distractions. You see, his aim, his or her aim is to please those who are over him. The athlete, in order to be a good athlete, they are to avoid shortcuts. And in order to avoid shortcuts, it requires discipline. Millions of people admire athletes, but few imitate them. Many of them enjoy athletic performances, but few watch and try to attempt their training. Our family, I'll just put a plug in right now. Our family's watching, I don't know if many of you watched the series on ESPN about the Chicago Bulls, their championship run. It comes on Sunday nights. It's phenomenal. It's very insightful. I'm like, yeah, I want to be like Mike. Anyway. But I'm here to tell you, as I watch these athletes, man, although I'm impressed with their talent, although I'm impressed with what they can do, I am not willing to spend the time and energy to hone my skill and craft like they are. But Paul says, if you're going to be a faithful follower of Christ, you must endure certain things. You must suffer certain things. And this suffering is not this external suffering. It's more of an internal suffering where you deny yourself, take up your cross, and you follow Him. The same is true for the farmer. Many of you probably thought I forgot. No. Farmers cannot take any shortcuts either. Although I'm not a farmer yet, I'm in awe about what they do. They toil every single day. There's no clocking in and out. They get up early. They work in the field. They care for their animals. The exception between the soldier and the athlete, though, with a farmer, there's no credit. There's no glory in that. No one's doing a documentary about farming. Right? No one's taking pictures or interviewing the farmer about what he or she has just accomplished. They're not applauded or sought out for autographs after it's done. Right? There's no press conference after they bale their hay. No, for the farmer, it's a solo gig. You go unnoticed. And what a perfect picture of Christianity and being called to share the gospel. Church, I'm here to tell you, it is not glamorous. I know. I give the perception that it is, right? Many of you follow me on social media and you're like, man, JD has the great life. No, I'm here to tell you, it's nothing glamorous about being in the ministry. It, involves sowing, it involves planting and plowing and monitoring. It's endless. 24/7. So how does an individual stay faithful in this task? How does an individual say, yes, I will stick with it no matter what? You see, Paul encourages Timothy never, ever to lose sight of Christ, verse number 8. He says this, remember Jesus Christ. In order to survive in the good seasons and in the bad seasons or in the difficult seasons, I'm here to tell you, church, you must never, ever lose sight of Christ Jesus. How are we to do that? How are we never, ever to lose sight of Christ Jesus? Well, Paul says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. That's his deity, right? He's God. He's seated at the right hand of the Father now. And the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, the offspring of David, that's his humanity. And so in order to remember Christ Jesus, we are to remember the person and the work of him. He was raised from the dead, and he is fully human, descended from David. You see, when your tank becomes empty, when you find yourself wanting to quit, wanting to give up, when you find yourself being tempted of not being faithful, remember that the tomb is empty and the throne is occupied. Remember the one that conquered death, hell, and the grave. All our enemies. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he gives us the grace we need to endure any hardship we may face. Having a view of Christ will help you keep your head in the game. It will help you win the war, and it will help you stay on the farm. Which is why Paul commands Timothy in verse 14. Remind them of these things. Who are the them? Well, more than likely, we don't know for sure, but more than likely it's the people back in verse number 2. The people that Timothy was supposed to entrust with the message. And Paul says, remind them of these things. What are these things? The doctrine, the gospel that Timothy has been taught to remember, that he's been entrusted to preserve and defend and guard. You see, it wasn't Timothy's message. It was Christ's message. It wasn't Timothy's opinion. It was fact. And Paul tells Timothy that you're to remind people constantly of the good news of Jesus Christ. And help him get a clearer picture of what ministry is like. Paul continues and he gives Timothy three more images to use. Verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Do your best, he tells Timothy back in verse 15. In the Greek, he's telling Timothy to make every effort, or to pursue with zeal and fervor. You see, church, this isn't something that we are to be lackadaisical about. It's why he told Timothy back in chapter 1. What did he say? He said, fan into flame that gift that was given to you by the laying on of my hands. You see, this isn't something that we are supposed to be ho-hum about or just get bored about. It's just the result, or just the opposite, that we are to pursue with enthusiasm and passion. Do your best. To do his best. How? In what way? To present himself before God. He has to show himself before God, to stand before God as one who is approved. So when God looks down at Timothy, Timothy must be diligently doing what God has called him to do. That he is not to be ashamed of his work. And it is work. You are a worker for the gospel. And continually in the New Testament, that image is given time and time and time again. And what is our work? It is the sharing of God's word. And how do we share God's word? Paul tells Timothy, by rightly handling the truth. You see, we are to teach God's word correctly and accurately. We have a soldier, we have an athlete, we have a farmer, we have a worker. And then Paul moves the imagery to household images. Go down to verse number 20. Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. The illustration is simple enough, right? Houses are filled with utensils. There's pots and pans, cups, glasses, forks, dishes, and so on and so forth. Paul tells Timothy that the gold and silver ones are for honorable use. The wood and clay ones are for dishonorable or ordinary use. And the master of the house, he uses those special vessels for honorable occasions. And then the dishonorable vessels, listen, they're used for other menial tasks. And they're sometimes even thrown away completely. And Paul tells Timothy, what separates honorable vessels from the dishonorable ones? How do you know which one you are? And Paul tells Timothy, there's one condition that's absolutely essential, that vessel must purify himself or herself. That if that vessel is clean, it will be used for honorable use. But if it's unclean, it will be dishonored. How do you become clean? Again, Paul tells Timothy, let's keep going. Verse 22. So flee. Again, highlight, underline that word. You guys might remember it, right? Fuego in the Greek. It's the one we've talked about before over and over again. It's that same word. Remember Joseph in Genesis where he fled from Potiphar's wife, fuego. So Paul tells Timothy, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Simply put, honorable vessels to make yourself clean. You fuego, you flee everything that is not Christ-like. But not only that, not only are you supposed to flee those things like idolatry and materialism, even other kinds of sin. There's so much more than just saying no to sin. You see, Paul says that you are to pursue righteousness, that you fuego, that you flee, and you pursue God. You say yes to God. You're to turn your mind away from sin and toward Christ. Because your youthfulness is not based on your skillfulness, it's based on your holiness. Are you holy? Has Christ made you holy? Have you fled those things of the world? Are you pursuing Christ? It's the only litmus test on whether or not God will use you. Paul's final picture, a slave, a servant. Skip down to verse number 24. And the Lord's servant, doulos, that could also be translated slave, bond servant, must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. And as Thomas is coming up and we're about to worship, Paul tells Timothy, he says, look, you're the slave of Christ, the servant of Christ. They're to be gentle. Gentleness does not equal timidity, okay? Gentleness is strength under control. Timothy was called to correct his opponents, but how was he supposed to do that? He was supposed to be gentle with them. And the goal of such humility, or the goal of such an attitude, was not to elevate Timothy. It was so that that individual can come to know Christ. Paul tells Timothy that the Lord's servant, we're not out to win arguments or to prove our point, but we're out to win souls. We're out to win souls. Faithful servants of Christ are their desire, their passion is to see people turn from sin and toward Christ. Paul tells Timothy, it's not because of that individual, right? Per se, it's not the individual's fault. It's because that individual, that's not our real enemy. You see, church, our real enemy is Satan. Paul tells Timothy that Satan has captured that individual to do his will. So if you're facing someone, difficulty, wherever it may be, listen, there's more going on in that situation than that person. There are spiritual forces at work. They are in the grip of the evil one, and they desperately need to come to know the truth. And the only way they'll come to know the truth is through your gentleness and correcting them in love. Paul tells Timothy, he says, maybe God will grant them repentance. So what it comes down to is this, right? Chapter 2. I mean, this is a weighty chapter. There are things going on here. I mean, Paul, this image of soldier and athlete, farmer, workman, vessel, and slave. And all these images convey one thing. Paul tells Timothy, you are to endure for the gospel. You know, I could say that it's about Mother's Day, right? I could say it's about Mother's Day. Moms, you're to endure for the gospel. Yeah, 364 days out of the year, you might not get any credit. Here's your one day, right? You're to endure for the gospel. There's so much more than that. The application goes so much deeper than that. It goes to every single one of us. That wherever God has placed you, whatever you may be going through right now, be faithful. Endure. Because God wants to use you in a special, special way. If you would, please stand as I pray. Holy Spirit, right now we're about to enter into a time of worship and thanksgiving to you. We are about to just blow this roof off for you. And Father, you know every heart that is in this place. You know what an individual may be going through. You know the struggles, the temptations that they may be facing right now. And here's the glorious promise that it's not up to them to win their battle. It is up to you. And so, Father, in these next few moments, may we just surrender all we have and all we are to you to allow you to fight for us, to allow you to go before us. May we receive the strength that is only found in the grace of Jesus Christ. So, Father, speak to us right now. Speak to us, our hearts, because we desperately need you. For it's in your Son's name I pray. Amen and amen. Church, let's sing.